Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hope you had a great day. Man, I just want to just express my gratitude for listening in and just thank you so much. Man, on behalf of Another Chance Foundation, my name is Deontay Garrett, also known as Big Sir. We want to be the voice for the community and the prisoner. We seek to stay up to date with information and share with those behind bars and loved ones who care for them. Another Chance aims to be the bridge that keeps both parties unified. We must never neglect the prisoners of our country or forget to encourage the families in our communities that are impacted by the removal of said loved ones from their free world. We will do our absolute best to keep you all informed, and more than anything, may we all stay in prayer that this too shall pass. And with that being said, I'd like to open this up with a word of prayer. Father God, I'm just so grateful for you. I'm grateful for this time, Lord. I pray that people gain a lot of helpful information during this call. I pray for all the prisoners, Father God, who are being affected by this coronavirus impact, Lord. I pray for their safety, their health, their peace of mind. I pray for families, Father God, who are stressed out and are wearing, Father God, of how this has impacted their finances, how it's impacted the health of people they love. Father, I pray for healing over the world. I pray for financial relief over the world. And I pray ultimately, Father God, that we will come and to know you more through this and grow towards you, Father God, and be in prayer. Be strong with one another, Father God, loving one another better, uniting better, Father God, and just really being helpful to all those we can be helpful to and serving as much as we can. We love you and we thank you for another opportunity, Lord. In Jesus' name I say, pray, amen. So we'll be meeting with Miss Nicole tonight, and she'll share a lot about her story and super excited about that. I just want to update you guys on some information that I saw today about what's going on in Mr. Coronavirus deal. One thing that happened that I think needs to be addressed, you know, especially from our platform, a man was released from jail amidst the coronavirus. He was released, and the next day he actually killed someone. And so the fear now is that because that happened with that one individual, they're going to pull back on releasing inmates because of that chance right there. And so it's sad to see a man given the opportunity to have freedom and going and squandering it and destroying it away and really, really having a disastrous effect on all those who will come after him. So I do fear that now with that happening that they will pull back on some of the releasing that they're doing. I think they should really look at it, their cases heavily. And I, like I said, there will definitely be pros and cons. I really hate that happened, and definitely in prayer for the family and in prayer for that young man, because he's obviously not there all the way. But just I pray that they don't stop releasing those who are at risk, those who are nonviolent and have shown a sense of positive behavior because of a situation like this. So I wanted to acknowledge that, because I don't want to be the station that just overlooks the negative. Of course, this is a negative. This hurts our cause. But at the end of the day, we have to focus on saving lives and helping people. And we don't want to just leave those who are at risk there in the system and hurting because of someone's mistake. And it's a very serious mistake, and I don't want to downplay it at all. And that's why I brought it up, because I know it's a huge deal. I definitely wanted to just to mention that. In the Ohio prisons, they see a rise in the coronavirus infections. It's definitely a rise really all over, to be honest with you. There's some program now where you could actually, it's called Save a Life from coronavirus, and you could work to bail people out of jail. So if anybody was thinking about finding a way to help a prisoner, that's definitely a way to raise bail for prisoners and get them out of jail. And listen, you know, you might not be for that, you might be against that, but there has to be a way for us to help, especially those of us who are believers. Jesus tells us to help the prisoners. So it's definitely not a population you should be neglecting because of your own personal feelings. So I'll say that, and I'll leave that there. In South Carolina, a prison employee has died from coronavirus complications. I believe the first woman and the first female inmate has passed from the coronavirus. So it's definitely in both the female prisons and the male prisons. So just continue to be in prayer for the inmates, please, in prayer for the correctional officers, please, in prayer for any staff member that's dealing with this in the midst of the prisons. And Because from what we've been hearing, there's not much to protect them during this time. So as far as, like, masks and stuff like that, like I said, my brother's there, and he didn't get a mask until a few weeks after the thing kind of shut down. So it's something that we expected, because the prisons aren't kept that well naturally, right, especially the privately owned. So they're not kept that well naturally. And so the guys, and just speaking with some people about this coronavirus and how it's impacting the prisons, the prisons aren't really reforming men and women. What they're doing is they're just holding them and verbally abusing them, sometimes physically abusing them, putting them in these terrible conditions, and really breaking their spirits. It doesn't really motivate them to want to do anything in a place like that. The prisons should be set up to reform the mind, get them to think and find another way. I work with residents on a day-to-day basis, young men who are at risk and did come from some rough background. And one thing that I saw so much food in speaking to one of my interns, he was telling me that, but before working with our program, he hadn't even thought about living past 18, 19 years old. But because he worked and did what he was supposed to do in our program, and now he got a construction job and he's doing well, and we're working on lunching him out and into independence. But because he did his job, now he's talking about getting married, he's talking about buying a house, just having a future. And it's, he said just to think about stuff like that just excites him, brings him joy. Because before that, when he was doing what he was doing, he's just like, well, I'm just living day to day because I'm not expecting no long life or nothing like that. So imagine how sad that is. But imagine, you know, and he spent some time inside, but imagine a young man that didn't get the opportunity he got to come to a program like this, but just ends up going into prison. And now you go into prison and you don't have people motivating you will be in the program to do better and succeed. You got people bashing you, telling you you're worthless, telling you you'll never be nothing, not pushing you to be successful. If you are already in a negative environment, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be a lot harder for you, I'll say it that way, to truly be successful unless you really work on your mental, growing yourself, and really have just great self-motivation. And we meet guys like that, and I'll tell you, guys and women like that, and I'll tell you, they are a rarity. In my opinion, they are a rarity. It's a special person that could find a sense of peace in the midst of a situation like that. And I really don't know. I can't even imagine the frustration, the worry, the fear that's on the minds of so many inmates right now in the midst of this coronavirus deal. Because leadership, let me tell you about leadership. Leadership holds a lot of weight. Right, and it's so important that as a leader, you recognize the weight that you carry, but also that you lead well, and you understand that people are going to follow you whether you want them to or not. We just will. And so anybody could lead when everything's going good. It's easy to lead when everything's going the way we want it to go. But what do you do in the midst of chaos? How do you lead when everything's not going as planned? When there's chaos, when it's bad, how do you lead then? And that really, to me, defines your leadership. Are you a leader just when it's good? Because if that's the case, then you're not really a good leader. A true leader is going to lead well in the midst of a bad time, in the midst of a good time. Not that a leader can't fail, but when a leader fails, a leader's going to acknowledge that failure and move forward and grow from that failure. And so, man, I think it's important for our leaders, period, wherever you're leading at, especially in the prison community, the wardens, the correctional officers, the inmates who have leadership roles in the prisons, it's important for you all to lead well. And how do you do that? I think we have a beautiful example of what true leadership looks like found in our faith through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in John 13 is given this understanding. It says that the Father has given him all authority, that everything is under his feet, and that it's time for him to go home. And so the first thing that he does with that is he gets up and he washes his disciples' feet. The first thing he does with that is he serves. Now, some of us know when we get power or we get some kind of role in our job, whatever it may be, we get this pride that swells up and it's all about us and we're telling people what to do. But Jesus shows us that the true essence of a leader, once you have the authority and the power, is to become a servant. He even tells his disciples that the greatest among you will be a servant. So it's so important that we acknowledge that truth. That even in the midst of this pandemic and everything that's going on, the best thing, the greatest thing you could do right now, leadership, period, the inmates that are leaders in the prison, the correctional officers, the wardens, the greatest things you could do right now, truly, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, all the leaders up there, is find a way to serve. Find a way to serve the people in your care. Okay, even for the ones you're not going to release, what are we going to do with them? Are we going to allow them just to sit there and get sick? Everybody should have a mask. Why don't all correctional officers have gloves and masks and stuff like that? If the president is getting up every day saying that we got more than enough, then why aren't the prisons tapping into some of that more than enough? I really want to see action. And that's my plea. Don't just be a great leader when everything's going fine. Show me your leadership in the midst of chaos. So that's really my word, just you know, and sometimes I'm just going to start preaching, and that's just who I am. but it's definitely important that I share that with you, because so many leaders right now are shaking in their boots because they don't know what to do. Are they afraid to say they just don't know and they're not receiving help? So it's important that we really figure this out, leaders. And right now I'm just waiting on Nicole to jump on the call. Texting our associate, Miss Anita, right now to see if she's going to be joining me tonight. If not, we'll just end the episode soon. But I just pray that you guys hear that word and hear it well. Just an update on my brother seems to be doing fine. You know, he's, I guess, in a sense of fear right now, just like any inmate. But he seems to be doing fine right now amidst everything. So just continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for everybody that's struggling with this, both inside and outside. A lot of people are being impacted, and I think every single day that this kind of goes on, more and more people are losing jobs, and companies are figuring out they can't pay their employees. But one great thing is this loan to keep businesses operating, I think it's really going through. And I know my company ended up applying for it. I think we got approved for it. I don't know if we have the funding for it actually yet, but I think it's going through, so that's important to know. So that piece is working, so maybe people will start getting their jobs back. They say they're going to open up the economy. I don't know what that's going to look like. I would love to hear some thoughts about what you guys think, and we're willing to have someone on the show just to talk about the coronavirus and how it's impacted them and what that looks like for their life. But it's definitely going to be important for us to stay safe, because the reality of it is even when they open up the economy, the virus will still be out there. And so it's interesting because we'll still be at great risk of catching it. And of course it said that people of color are at a greater risk of it being fatal to them. So I'm a little eerie of them just opening it up and everybody getting back to normal, because I live in the South, and so people are just naturally out there, outgoing. So I see people going right back to shaking hands, right back to hanging out. The bars gonna open back up, and it's gonna be, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm still texting this in. And it's going to be like, yeah, and it's going to be like right back to normal. In my opinion, I really think like the partiers, the people that really hit the clubs heavy, they going to go right back to the clubs, like for real. Like I think that's going to be like straight there. I hope schools don't open back up because you put the kids at risk and it's going, I mean, that's a quick way to spread that thing. Because the reality is when they open it back up, it's going to start spreading again. And my fear is that we finna open it back up and then it's going to end up closing right back down and then we back in the situation. So it's going to be like, I hope that doesn't put us in a worse situation because of that. So just my thought. I would love to know what you guys think. But overall, you know, just my thoughts about the whole coronavirus deal and what happened and how did it start and where did it come from. And, man, at the end of the day, man, nobody really knows. Just to be honest with you, nobody really knows. There's no telling. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody really knows. But, I did. With the here and now, it's here. You know what I'm saying? It's here. We know it's here. We know it's having a crazy impact. It shut the whole world down. And so what do you do now that you know it's here? And I wish that our country, I wish that many countries would have acted sooner. I don't only feel for America, but I just think about the world. I think about some of those countries that really don't have a lot of support, a lot of people, a lot of finances to send every person in the country, or a lot of people in the country, $1,200 checks. There are many countries that can't even fathom doing something like that. The fact that we can, I think, is important. I think it's a good deal for our country, but I definitely feel for those who just don't have that opportunity. So definitely keep people around the world in prayer. But that's important also. So I'm going to pray us out because I don't think Ms. Nicole is going to join us tonight, which is fine. Something may have came up. We just want to keep her in prayer, keep families in prayer, definitely just continue to love on each other. Father God, we're so grateful for you. I'm grateful for another opportunity to come before you. Thankful for this time. I pray that your word is heard well around the world. And I pray that people are coming together and being unified and loving each other and being strong in their faith and bold and courageous and not allowing fear to overwhelm them, but living in a state of peace of mind. Or at the end of the day, you're in control. We love you and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed.